Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello there. This episode of Luke's English Podcast is sponsored by iTalki. And if you want to have rambling conversations about films with a native speaker who can correct your errors while you go and teach you important grammar or vocabulary, check out iTalki. You can arrange one-to-one lessons or conversations on Skype or other software. It's all based around your needs and your schedule. And when you buy some talking time, iTalki will send you a voucher for a free lesson. To get the offer, go to teacherluke.co.uk/talk or click an iTalki logo on my website. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, hello. Welcome to Luke's English Podcast. Here's another episode for you. I've managed to find time to do this for you. So here it is. This is episode number 632, Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker. So this is a film club episode about the new Star Wars film. It contains no spoilers for the film beyond what has been revealed in the trailers already. Okay, so no spoilers. I haven't seen the film yet. This is just going to be my speculation about what's going to happen in this new film. So if you are interested in the new Star Wars film, then I hope that you can enjoy listening to this before seeing the film. I'll be doing another one after having seen the film, and that will contain all the spoilers, but no spoilers here. So I'm going to see Star Wars Episode 9 tomorrow, despite the fact that there is a big strike going on here in Paris at the moment. The creche is open. They've managed to open the creche, so my daughter will be going to creche, which means that I can go and see the new Star Wars film when it opens, which is on Wednesday. For some reason in France, we always get the films a couple of days earlier because films sort of open on a Wednesday here. So I'll be seeing it sort of probably a couple of days before everyone else. And I will be doing a sort of spoiler review, hopefully, tomorrow afternoon after having seen the film. So the creche is open. It's on. I mean, it's not on at the creche. That would be weird. Like, special screening of the new Star Wars film here at the creche. No, it's just on, meaning it's going to happen. So, anyway, talking about Star Wars has become something of a tradition on this podcast now. I've done numerous film club episodes about it on this podcast. Everyone should know that I am somehow invested in this series, and this goes right back to childhood when I was obsessed with Star Wars. I had the toys, I believed I was Luke Skywalker and everything, and this continued as I grew up. At university, I used to sit around with my friends and speculate about Star Wars. Then I saw the prequel trilogy from 1999 to 2005, and I didn't really like it, to be honest. There were some good moments, like a few lightsaber fights and things, but it wasn't really my cup of tea overall. Now we have the new Disney-produced films, episodes 7 and 8, and now 9. And overall, I've been enjoying them a lot. I think that they've got the tone just about right. It feels like old Star Wars. There have been some films which were like sort of big Star Wars sandpit games, like Rogue One. It was almost like a big toy fest, wasn't it, Rogue One? It was just like all the sort of different battles that you'd recreated with your Star Wars figures when you were a kid, writ large on the screen. That was what Rogue One was like. And there have also been sort of weird, unexpected moments, like in The Last Jedi. Now, I've done episodes about the original films and all the new releases. They're all there in the episode archive. It's become something of a tradition on the podcast to talk about Star Wars at Christmas. In fact, this is now the fourth Star Wars film that we've had at Christmas time, and also the fourth time I'm talking about it on the podcast at Christmas. By the way, yesterday, I don't know if you saw this, Yesterday, I uploaded the annual Christmas episode of Luke's English Podcast. It's all about awful jokes that you might find in a Christmas cracker. So check it out for laughs, some groans as well, like, ugh, and a nice review of Christmas vocabulary. Also, I've been uploading some premium videos and more premium stuff coming later this week. So don't miss the Christmas jokes episode. I'm concerned that because I uploaded it just yesterday, and now I'm uploading another one, that you'll kind of miss number 631. So don't miss it. That's the Christmas episode. Right, so back to Star Wars. I know that for some of you, Star Wars is not your cup of tea. And in that case, this episode might not be for you. I feel sort of like it's a bit indulgent for me to spend time just talking about these films that I'm mildly obsessed with. It's slightly indulgent, but I kind of think, well, it's Christmas and I didn't know if I'd be able to do these episodes, so I'm just going to do them and it's going to be fun for those who are into it. But I know that for some of you, it's not your cup of tea. Also, if you're not a fan of the kind of rambling style episodes that I do, then this also might not be for you, because I'm going to do quite a lot of rambling about Star Wars. So I now I expect I've got people listening who are interested in the new Star Wars film and sort of want to listen to me talk about it in a rambly kind of way. So you're all on board. Great. Let's go. So I'm excited to see the new film tomorrow. It's always fun to see new Star Wars, especially if big things are going to happen. And they are definitely going to happen in this new episode. I think there will be big sort of big story stuff. But I'm also prepared for disappointment. You know, it is Star Wars, for goodness sake. There's bound to be some kind of disappointment. And it's the culmination of the whole 9-part series. It's all going to culminate in this episode. The trilogy of trilogies is going to conclude with this episode. I mean, no pressure. I wonder how J.J. Abrams is going to deal with this. He's directing it. I think I get the feeling that he was kind of brought back in to rescue the project, because The Last Jedi divided people. The fans didn't like it, it seemed. Well, lots of people didn't like it. There was a huge backlash against it. So maybe JJ was sort of brought back on to rescue the franchise. But also they've got... the film is being written, or has been written, by Chris Terrio. And here in my notes, I've got Chris Terrio? Question mark, question mark, question mark. So it's like, Chris Terrio? So, let's see. Who is Chris Terrio? He's the guy who's writing it. He's an American screenwriter and film director. He's best known for writing the screenplay for the 2012 film Argo, for which he won the Academy Award for Best Adapted Screenplay. That is a good film. Argo, Ben Affleck. And it's about sort of like a Secret Service mission in Iran, but they're posing as filmmakers. It's quite a good one. So he won an award for that. But what else did he do? What's the precedent? Oh, dear. Oh, no. So he also wrote the screenplay for Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice. And also he wrote the Justice League film as well. So I think most of us can agree that those films are pants, right? So that's not a good sign that Chris Terrio is the guy brought on to do this. So Argo was good, but those Superman films were appalling, and also really badly written, like, tell me, do you bleed, you know, all that kind of stuff. Cheesy dialogue. So that's a bit worrying that he's the guy writing it. But I think J.J. Abrams is basically quite safe. I think he's quite a reliable filmmaker. Let's have a quick look back at the last few films. I sound like a DJ when I say that, didn't I? Let's have a quick look back at the last few films. So episode 7, what was that one called? The Force Awakens. I thought it was pretty good. Many of you will disagree, but I thought it basically struck the right tone. I'm not a fan of that sort of prequel vibe, too much CGI, and it's all a bit sort of distant, away from the characters, and sort of the scale of it's much bigger. Whereas the original Star Wars, it's just like a handful of characters. You're quite up close and personal with them. It's quite gritty. A lot of naturalistic dialogue and stuff, whereas the prequels, it's like very stilted, kind of formal stuff, trade disputes and things. But I like the sort of ragtag gang of people that you get in the original trilogy, and that you kind of get that feeling with the sequel trilogy, the right kind of tone. Some nostalgia value, of course. We got to see bits and pieces like the Millennium Falcon. It felt like old Star Wars again. But the criticisms of Episode 7 were that it was too derivative of Episode 4. You realise after a while that, wait a minute, this is exactly the same as the story for Episode 4. Like, some secret plans are hidden in a droid. The droid finds someone in the desert, a nobody who then sort of seems to be force sensitive. Oh, I'm feeling a bit force sensitive today. You know, that's maybe people listening to this are like, oh no, I feel a bit force sensitive. Can't listen to that today. I don't know. But anyway, so, you know, a droid finds a force sensitive person who kind of gets involved in the rebellion and stuff. And then they blow up a big super weapon at the end. It's very, very similar. So too derivative, and also the other problem is that Rey's character is kind of overpowered, that she seems to just have the Force inexplicably. We don't know why she's so good. For example, she can use the Jedi mind trick. She's doing stuff that, you know, she's fighting Kylo Rey, who's apparently a complete badass, and she's like fighting him off. And he's like, who is she? Like, how does she know this stuff? So that's very kind of weird. I mean, in Episode 7, it was quite mysterious. Like, why? Who is she? Is she, like, the Emperor's daughter or something? But a bit overpowered. Then we got Rogue One, which was also pretty good, but it was criticised for basically too much fan service. The entire thing was just like, oh, look at this ship and look at that. Remember this? You know, it was that kind of thing. But I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it, that kind of war film sort of thing, and quite a bleak ending. But apparently after those two episodes, apparently what we wanted was something where different things happen. So we wanted not just the same repeated storyline. Like, don't just do The Empire Strikes Back again, please. We can see that there are going to be walkers in Episode 8, but don't just do The Empire Strikes Back. So do something different this time, and don't do too much fan service. Okay, so that was kind of like the mandate, as it were, for Episode 8. And the result was Episode 8, The Last Jedi, which was all about subverting expectations and changing the rules. There were things where different things happened, and also not that much fan service. But as a result, people didn't like it. People were like, do Star Wars, right? But just make it different. But not different, kind of also the same. But not the same as before, different, but the same. You know? And so people weren't very happy with Episode 8. In that film, Luke is a washed-up hermit who's lost his faith. People sort of wanted Luke Skywalker to be this super powerful, mega Jedi, kind of Gandalf sort of figure, who was capable of doing great things like, you know, bringing down spaceships and stuff with the Force. That's what people were hoping for. But instead, we got this very cynical version of Luke Skywalker. The Jedi in the film are considered a failed project responsible for the creation of the Sith. And I quite liked The Last Jedi. I really enjoyed it when I watched it. I really got caught up in everything that was happening, and I enjoyed it. I liked how it subverted expectations. I enjoyed not knowing what would happen next. But I can sort of understand the criticisms, like the plot is a bit kind of rubbish, that they're just basically stuck on a ship in a very, very slow, very low speed space chase. And it's kind of a bit ridiculous. And there are some silly moments and moments of humour that probably didn't land very well for some people. And the fact that Luke Skywalker was a bit useless. And there wasn't a lot of action. There weren't many lightsaber fights. Really not none to speak of. Even at the end, it wasn't a proper lightsaber fight. So a lot of sort of disappointment, but I still enjoyed it. But it took the series in a weird direction, and now J.J. Abrams has to kind of land the plane on this one. You know, he's got to sort of give it a safe landing. And, I mean, how does it feel if you just, like, you know, just become one with the Force for a moment, you know, just meditate for a second, just feel the Star Wars in the living Force? How does it feel? What's the condition of Star Wars if you just kind of connect with it? What's the condition of Star Wars? It feels a little bit, oh, like, oh, my back. don't you think Star Wars is getting a bit tired? He's like, oh, my knees hurt and my back is aching. Do you think I might be able to just sit this one out? There was a slight sense that maybe it's a little muted. I feel there's a slightly muted level of hype leading up to this film. Normally when there's a Star Wars film coming out, the hype machine is in overdrive. And also the level of the number of speculation videos that turn up on YouTube are also usually in overdrive. But I feel like this time things are a bit more muted. It seems a bit quieter. Like Star Wars is kind of going, yep, here's the new film. You know, like nostalgia, remember I used to love Star Wars? Yeah, there's another film. Here you go. You know, they're not shoving it down our throats that much. So I don't know. Is it just me or does it feel like the hype is a bit muted? I want to talk about answers versus mystery. I've kind of decided that this is... These are the sort of two factors that dictate what kind of Star Wars film you're getting. Answers versus mystery. So, and this also relates to the way J.J. Abrams makes films. So J.J. Abrams is very good at the mystery stuff. I mean, we know from his previous work, he's done stuff like Lost, which was all about just like, ooh, what's happening? What does that mean? And sort of giving you all these questions all the time and then not answering any of them at all. So he's very good at instigating that sense of mystery and, you know, what's going on, and which fuels the speculation. And speculation has always been a key thing about Star Wars. That's what we've always enjoyed doing, is kind of like filling the blanks, you know, working out Boba Fett's backstory and that sort of thing. So, you know, that's quite good for Star Wars because it is, you know, rich for speculation. And Episode 7 certainly gave us lots of things to think about with Rey's background and who is Snoke and all this stuff. So J.J. Abrams is quite good at the mystery, and Episode 7 was quite good for that. They came up with more questions than answers. You know, why did Rey have that weird force vision when she touched the lightsaber? You know, she seems to be connected. They say that the force is calling out to her. The lightsaber was calling out to her specifically, which is kind of a weird thing considering it was like Anakin's lightsaber, then it was Luke's lightsaber, and now it's calling out to her. So that sort of suggests that maybe there's a family connection. And there were so many fan theories, with like, who is Snoke? Is he Darth Plagueis? Is he, is he Jar Jar Binks somehow? Unlikely, but lots of theories about him and that he was the emperor or all these other things. So many fan theories. And everyone was looking for answers in Episode 8. Everyone was like waiting to find out who Rey was and where Snoke came from. And instead, it was all about subverting expectations. So it was all about kind of like, haha, you think we're going to do this? No, we're not going to do that. We're going to do something else. So that kind of confused everyone, I think. But in this one, in Episode 9, JJ has to provide some answers. And I think that we'll get most of them. Like, who is Rey? I think we're going to find out who she is. Who was Snoke? And I think we may already know who Snoke is based on some stuff that's in a trailer. Why did Kylo turn to the dark side? Was he being manipulated by Snoke? Or is somehow the Emperor involved? And what did Rey's cave scene mean? We'll probably get answers to those things more or less, I would imagine. So it's going to be exciting to get some big conclusions, hopefully. But of course, there's always the potential for the answers to be disappointing. But maybe we'll get some mystery too. And I think mystery and open-endedness and less is more is what Star Wars is all about when it's good. The original trilogy was more about mystery, you know, Episodes 4, 5 and 6. That was more about the mystery. It was kind of less is more. We didn't get a hell of a lot of details, but certainly in Episode 4 about what the Force was. It was just a mysterious sort of energy that binds the galaxy together. You know, it's very vague indeed, and it doesn't really get much more developed than that, even in Episodes 5 and 6. So a lot of mystery, a lot of unknown elements that you had to kind of come up with yourself. And then the prequel trilogy was more about answers and just providing all the answers for why things happened, and even things, new things like the midichlorians, which is like these living organisms that live within us, and they contain the Force, and it's like a measurable level of Force power. with these actual organisms, which is very weird. So that was kind of like, oh, there's the answer to what the Force is. And obviously, you know, why Vader turned to the dark side and what happened with Obi-Wan Kenobi and all that stuff. It just provides loads of answers. You knew what would happen next. So there wasn't really any mystery in there. You just thought, oh, how are they going to get from A to B to C? So this trilogy is still interesting to me because there still is that mystery that, you know, we're moving forwards. There are answers that have to be dealt with. But it all rides on this episode. There's a lot of pressure on this one to bring it back to classic Star Wars, but also to provide answers. And I wonder if JJ is you know, really suited to that, to providing us with answers. I think in a way he's constrained by having to, and this is maybe Chris Terrio as well, they are constrained by having to give answers. And like, we know, for example, that the Emperor is back. And so maybe the Emperor is going to be key to understanding what's been going on. But they have to give answers. So there's that sort of structural thing where they have to meet certain criteria. But then the way that they tell that story, JJ is still quite good at leaving certain bits of mystery. So maybe we'll get answers, but there'll be some level of mystery because that's just the way that JJ Abrams always does it. So we know that the Emperor is coming back because we've heard his voice in the trailers and stuff like that. I'm wondering if we'll see other people too, like maybe Anakin. He might return with the prequel actor. What's his name? Hayden Christensen. We might see him as a Force ghost, for example. I think that since this is the Rise of Skywalker, maybe Anakin is the Skywalker, and this film is supposed to conclude all 9 episodes. So we're going to have to deal with themes that go from the first trilogy, the second trilogy, and the third trilogy. So surely Anakin Skywalker is going to be the one to kind of be the umbrella, as it were, the connecting thing between them all. That in the original one, it's like his youth, and then we see him as Vader, and then, you know, maybe he's going to return in some way. His helmet seems to be significant because Kylo's been worshipping and talking to the helmet and apparently having a conversation with Vader. So maybe Anakin will come back, but maybe he'll rise up as Skywalker. He'll become Anakin Skywalker again. Maybe that'll be the rise of Skywalker. Maybe we'll get Yoda again. We got him in the last one. Yoda might make an appearance again if they're training Rey. Because there's a line in one of the trailers that's like, all of our knowledge and wisdom is with you now, like thousands of generations. Everything that we've learned is in you. So maybe there's like some training that's been going on. Maybe we're going to see Rey training up with a bunch of different Force ghosts. And maybe at the end of the film, when they have to maybe do battle with the Emperor, maybe there'll be some sort of Force ghost intervention as well. So we may get Yoda. We'll definitely get Luke. We know that Luke is in the film, so I suppose that's going to be in the form of a force ghost, but it's possible that it would be flashbacks or something. Maybe just the voice, you know, that like the way Obi-Wan spoke to Luke. Maybe he'll do that with Rey. We might get Anakin. We might also get Obi-Wan Kenobi, because of course what's his face? Ewan McGregor is still around, and he's, you know, grown a little bit older. And Ewan McGregor is actually confirmed to be making, I think it's a Star Wars TV show, as Obi-Wan. So he's going to come back as Obi-Wan. Maybe we'll see a ghost of Obi-Wan Kenobi. That would be brilliant. And while we're at it, we could even have Qui-Gon Jinn, Liam Neeson himself. I don't know who you are, right? I'm a Jedi. I've got a very particular set of skills, like lightsaber fights and stuff. We may get Qui-Gon Jinn. They really should bring them back, don't you think? And we could even have Mace Windu as well. Samuel L. Jackson himself. That would be brilliant. So maybe Anakin is the Skywalker in the title. They did say that they bring the whole saga to an end. So how could Anakin not be part of it? I know that we've got the Emperor, so that is a connecting factor through all three trilogies, the Emperor. But it would sort of be good if Anakin was part of it too. Now, Snoke, we know, is probably a fake person created by the Emperor. How do we know this? How do we know this, Luke? Well, there is a clip that's been released. I think it was a TV spot. And it's a little 30-second clip from the film. And we see Kylo Ren landing on some kind of dark-looking planet, and walking towards what looks like a huge temple. It could be like a Sith castle or some sort of temple. And he kind of lowers in this little sort of funny elevator thing that lowers him down into a cave. And you can see lots of big statues of what look like Sith lords in their robes, big statues in the background. And as he walks through, you hear the Emperor's voice, you know, "My boy." And he basically says to him, all of the voices that you've had in your head, that's been me. And as he says that, his voice goes into Snoke's voice, and then his voice goes into Vader's voice as well. So the suggestion is that the Emperor is the one who's been speaking to Kylo, but using either Snoke's voice in his head or using Vader's voice in his head. Because obviously he's been communicating with Snoke, or he was, and with Vader as well through the helmet. So maybe Kylo was hearing these two voices, but it was saying, in fact, the Emperor, who was like sneakily influencing him. So maybe Snoke wasn't even a real person or something. He was potentially just some kind of creation. We still don't know anything about Snoke, where he comes from or anything. So maybe we'll find out more about that in this episode. So in the clip, Palpatine says he created all the voices in Kylo's head, including Vader and Snoke. Maybe Snoke was just some kind of creation of Palpatine. I bet Palpatine, right, I bet this is what happens. In the film, he calls to Kylo Ren, you know, and brings him to a certain place and then reveals himself. Maybe Kylo's just getting these voices like, you know, "Kylo, you must come to the blah, blah, blah system." And then he's like, you know, "I'm going to go to the blah, blah, blah system." And he goes, and then he's sort of called by this mysterious force, and then blah, it's the Emperor. Blah, you know, so what's going to happen? Is Kylo going to go with him? Is Kylo going to try and fight against the Emperor? Maybe Kylo is the Skywalker, because he is sort of in that Skywalker lineage. So maybe he's the Skywalker who's going to rise. Or maybe Rey is a Skywalker after all somehow. Or maybe it's Luke Skywalker who's somehow going to, you know, put an end to all of this. Oh, I don't know. And how do the others find the place where the Emperor is? Because I think Rey gets involved. And anyway, who is Rey? Maybe she is related to someone. In the last episode, they said that she's nobody, that she just comes from junk traders who sold her off for drinking money. So she's not important at all. That's what Kylo told her. But maybe he was lying. Maybe she is related to someone. Or maybe she's nobody. And I want to talk about the cave scene in episode 8. That's The Last Jedi. Do you remember the cave scene? So that's where, I don't know, I think she had an argument with Luke Skywalker or something. And she's sort of like in a bit of a mood. And she goes down to this dark cave, which is at the bottom of the island. And there's a hole in the ground, and she dives in the hole. No, she gets sucked into the hole. And then she's swimming in the water. She comes out of the water in a cave. And she walks to the back of the cave. And then she has this weird vision. And the vision is like she's standing in a long line of other rays. So there's just a huge line going off into the distance, both sides of Rey, just like doppelgangers of Rey all the way along. And like she clicks her fingers, but they click first behind her, and the click moves up between through all of the people, all of the Reys in this line. The click slowly moves up, and when it gets to her, it clicks, and then all the others click into the future. So it's like she's part of this weird time loop thing or something. It's very strange. She looks in a mirror, and she expects to see her parents, and she just sees herself in the mirror, right? She sees her own reflection. She asks to see her parents, and she just sees her own face reflected back in the mirror. So these two things, this weird, huge line of rays going off into infinity, the way she looks at herself in the mirror. So I was thinking about this. What does this all mean? Does this mean that Rey is a clone? Don't you think that's quite a good theory, that maybe she's a clone? Because think about it. You know, the long line of them that just shows that there's like she's been mass produced, like clones are. Maybe there's a whole clone army of Reys. Who's been cloning her though? This is weird. I mean, maybe this is the Emperor, because he had like his clone army from the originals. Maybe we're going to get clones again in this film. That could be interesting. The Emperor might be using clones to build an army of stormtroopers. Maybe he's cloned Rey and he's been using her as a potential surrogate or something so that she gets strong in the Force and he can transfer his essence to her, something like that. Maybe she's a clone. Or is it something about how her future is written? Like destiny, you know, like whatever, you know, stuff. You're just on a path towards a certain destiny. But what is her destiny? I still don't really know. It would be strange if the Force Cave was just saying, you have a destiny, you know. What does that mean? That would be the weirdest scene ever. Like, oh, you just have a destiny. It's like, but what is it? Not telling. You just have one. Of course I have one. I want to know what it is. Well, that's the best I can say. You have a destiny. Have a good day. Like, I don't know. I think it could mean that she's a clone. If you think about when she looks in the mirror, she expects to see her parents and she sees herself. Well, maybe she is her own parent because she's a clone, you know. So she is basically produced based on the DNA of another one. So in a sense, her parent is herself. So I think Rey might be a clone. Now, they must be planning some kind of big reveal in this film. There has to be some sort of big reveal. And I'm talking about stuff more than just the return of Palpatine. Palpatine, which is basically already confirmed. There will be another big reveal because we haven't had one yet in the sequel trilogy. Have we? Have we had a big, big reveal like a kind of Luke, I am your father moment? We haven't yet. I know that we've had Kylo Ren was revealed to be Han and Leia's son, but that was revealed right at the start, like almost at the beginning of the first film in the sequel trilogy, that Kylo is Han Solo and Leia's son. But we've had nothing about Rey yet. In the cave, she knows that what she'll see in the mirror is the answer she's looking for. We see two shadows come together to become one person who is revealed to be Rey. So she sees herself in the mirror. This could also mean that she's a clone. So clones featured heavily in the prequel trilogy, and Abrams has said that this film will tie together the whole narrative. So there may be elements from the prequels in here. Clones might be back. Maybe Rey is a clone, right? Maybe Dark Rey. Have you seen that in one of the trailers? There's a little clip where Rey looks all evil, like she's turned to the dark side, and she's got this wicked double-bladed lightsaber that she spins it round. It's a red-bladed sort of double lightsaber thing. Dark Rey. What's all that about? Maybe Rey is being cloned, and she's going to have to fight herself. But there's like a dark, evil Jedi version, Sith version of Rey. Or maybe Rey herself is going to turn to the dark side. Maybe Kylo will go good and Rey's going to go bad, because in episode 8 they both said that they both had visions of each other turning, that Rey had a vision of Kylo turning to the light and he thought that she would turn to the dark side. So I don't know, but I'm curious about the Dark Rey thing. That looked wicked. On the subject of clones, maybe Palpatine has cloned himself. Maybe he's cloned himself somehow, and that's how he survives. Maybe Palpatine cloned someone else. Maybe he cloned Anakin. I mean, anyone could have been cloned. I've talked about the Force ghosts. I've talked about saying Luke saying all of our experience is in you now. So maybe there's going to be more Force ghosts. I mean, I'm basically clutching at straws here. So I was asking before about the condition of Star Wars. Some people seem to think it's kind of broken. Is the Star Wars story broken at this point? I don't think so. I think there are lots of loose ends that could be tied up, like all the things we've been talking about, you know. And also I want to see what happens to Finn and what's his face? Poe Dameron. Are they going to get together or... I mean, there's like some weird... Is there like a bromance going on there? I don't know. What's going to happen to Finn? I'm kind of vaguely interested in that. And Poe Dameron, what's going to happen? Is he going to become like the great leader of the Resistance? Is Finn finally going to pick a side? It's mainly Rey and Kylo Ren are the ones I'm interested in. There are some new characters, apparently. But I don't think Star Wars is broken. So... let's see. Rey has become all trained up. She's awesome. Let's just continue the speculations here. She's got all trained up. She's awesome. She's been doing training in the forest. Maybe she's been using the help of some Force ghosts. Maybe Liam Neeson has taught her a particular set of skills. Kylo Ren is now in charge of the First Order and he's in full dark side mode. Maybe he's being haunted by Luke. Maybe Luke will turn him good somehow. Maybe he's being haunted by the Emperor. I think the Emperor has called out to him somehow. Maybe he's using Vader's helmet and making him think he's talking to Vader. Maybe the Emperor has like kind of kept some of his force power in the helmet, right? Maybe he kind of transferred some of his power to the helmet. So when Kylo thinks he's talking to Vader, he's actually talking to the Emperor. Kylo still knows that he has a connection with Rey, right? Remember that connection they had in episode 8? Maybe they still Skype sometimes like they did. So there's going to be some kind of connection there. Maybe they're going to team up, the two of them. Finn and Poe, God knows what's going to happen. Maybe they have some kind of mission to collect an artifact. The resistance seems to have grown after people around the galaxy have joined, including Lando. But I have no idea really what's going to happen. Maybe we're going to get an Avengers Endgame style ending, right? Because this is going to be the ending of the whole 9-episode thing, right? So maybe we're going to get Avengers Endgame at the end with all the Jedi, all the Force ghosts and Jedi all doing battle. And I know it sounds silly, but I mean, we saw Yoda in the last episode whacking Luke Skywalker on the head and setting fire to a tree. So I don't see why these Force ghosts now can't use actual powers in the real world. So there you go. I don't know what else I can say. I'm just looking forward to seeing it tomorrow. So what I'll do, I'd like to upload this today, so I'll do that. And then tomorrow I'll go and see the film. I might record some stuff of myself talking before I go and then some more on my way home. Or I might just wait until I get home and then just pour out my thoughts into the microphone. And that'll be the full spoiler review, okay? I'm interested in your thoughts. Please get in touch. Leave your comments in the comments section. Some of you have been asking whether I've seen The Mandalorian, which is the new Disney Plus Lucasfilm TV series about a Mandalorian, a guy going around in Mandalorian battle armor. Mandalorians, Boba Fett was a Mandalorian. So it's a sort of a Western, I think, that takes place after Return of the Jedi, I think. I'm right in thinking. And so it looks pretty awesome. People have been saying very good things about it. I haven't seen it yet because Disney Plus is not available in France until March or April or something ridiculous. I would, you know, just stream it online somehow, but I'm unable to find any decent sources for it. So I haven't seen The Mandalorian yet, but I'm looking forward to it. I have seen all of the Baby Yoda memes around, you know, Baby Yoda this, Baby Yoda that. Everyone's crazy about Baby Yoda at the moment. But to be honest, I don't know what that is yet, really. I don't really know what Baby Yoda is. I think he's a character that's... I'm not sure he can't be the actual Yoda. So he's got to be just like a member of Yoda's species, and he's very, very cute and cuddly and very gift-worthy. So, yes, I'll probably do a full spoiler review of the new Star Wars film on Wednesday, tomorrow, after I've seen it. I might also go to see it again with my brother and my dad, and we might get the chance to talk about it too. But that might be a bit too much Star Wars chat. It might just go into the app or something for those who want to get it. Okay, then. So, as I said, leave your comments in the comments section. What do you think about the Star Wars film? What are your expectations, your speculations? And that would be very interesting reading. I might be able to read some of those comments out in the next episode. So, for the full spoiler review, you'll have to wait until tomorrow. But for now, it's just time to say goodbye. Bye, 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 bye.
Inside your head.
Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.